Would you seek? Would you turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5? In this chapter here, Peter writing to the Christians, speaking certainly about escaping the corruption that's in the world and seeking after God's promises. He also, but in verse 5, he goes on to say this. And besides this, giving all diligence to add to your faith. Add to your faith what? Virtue. And add to virtue knowledge. Knowledge, temperance. And temperance, patience or endurance. And endurance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you should neither be barren nor unfruitful. And the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's pretty illuminating when you read that and you begin to think about applying it in your life and understanding these principles. But you'll never get there unless you understand what verse 5 is saying, which I want to talk about is, you know, giving all diligence. Diligent or diligence, being diligent, is a word that I think has seemed to escape our vocabulary and our meaning and even our values today because people don't seem to be diligent in things that they pursue after or seek after. They're just kind of lazy. The very opposite of diligent is to be lazy, to be negligent, and to be slothful, those kind of things where people just don't seem to have any concern or care for accomplishing anything in their lives. Now, how diligent would you say that you are in the seeking of spiritual things, as Peter says here? And besides this, that is, besides obtaining the promises and escaping the corruption that's in the world, add these things to your faith. And how diligent are you to pursue after these values and virtues that he speaks of? We would say the same thing as the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, and seeking after those things that God wants us to apply to our life and to partake of, to become part of our nature and part of our life. And so, again, the opposite of this is to be, if you neglect so great a salvation, how will you escape, as it says in Hebrews chapter 2? And I think you can see that in all of our lives to some degree where there seems to be a lack of really pursuing and seeking after and being diligent to the things that are more important in life, which would be certainly a relationship with God and having a understanding of what he wants us to accomplish, what he wants us to be, and what his purpose is. In Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 4, because as we read through this tonight, you see, again, the Bible says a lot about diligence. If you study it out, you don't always have to look at the word, but just the principle and the concept that's behind it. In Proverbs 13 in verse 4, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing. And that's so true of our nation today. It's so true of so many people. That people have a lot of desires. They want this. They want that. They have a desire for things and to even to covet after whatever they want in life. And yet it says that they will have nothing because they really don't put their whole heart and soul into it. But the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. So who is it that is really the one who comes out ahead of the game? Well, it's the soul of the diligent. So if that is true, and this is not the only place it says it, like we read in Peter, but we'll read many more of them, and it's amazing how often it comes up, where God applies the word diligent in the pursuit of a relationship and the pursuit of obtaining things and fulfilling your calling as far as your relationship with God is concerned. And so with that in mind, we have to understand, I mean, the word diligent and the meaning of it, because I looked it up, and Webster says about diligent that it's a constant effort to accomplish what is undertaken, a constant effort, not just a halfway, do it. You see this a lot in people in businesses. If you go shopping, you watch people that how they will serve you, whether it's in a clothing store or whether it's in a restaurant or a grocery store. You can see that some people are just there to be there to make their money and. As far as serving somebody or doing their job, it doesn't seem to have any zeal to it or any enthusiasm to it, and they don't put forth a lot of effort in doing it. They just do what they can get by, the least they can do to get by. Now, that shows you something about a person, I think, as far as their nature is concerned, that there's a sense of laziness, or I don't have to do that, so I'm not going to do it. Whereas on the other side, you've been in places and you see that somebody can be real diligent. When we were eating out today with Cracker Barrel, one of the guys that served us, I mean, he's one of the diligent, most diligent I've ever seen. I mean, your glass didn't get empty with water, coffee didn't get none. I mean, bring back biscuits to you. I mean, everything just kept coming. I thought, this guy's good. He's management material in my mind, the way I look at it, because he's serving you. He's just not coming there and said, okay, this is what you want, and get it to you and set it on the table and go away and leave you. He watches. He kept coming back. And I observed as he walked over to other tables. And I thought, you know, of course, I was thinking the whole time, because it was a big group I was there, I was thinking, this is going to be bad today because we're going to have to wait a long time to get our food and blah, blah, blah. But I was proved wrong again. So anyways, that's good that I've been proven wrong about being a murmur. You know what I mean. But diligence. I've seen people that are like that. But I've seen people that are the very opposite. You go in there and it's like they could care less how long the line is, care less how much, you know, time it takes to get you out of the door and so on and so forth. When I worked back in the world, way back in the 60s and 70s, worked for A&P, and I remember they were working in, you know, you worked as a stock clerk, and a lot of times they would call you when up front when it got real busy, especially at the first of the month and the 15th and on weekends. The crowds would come in, and they needed people up there to bag. Now, here you are as a full-time, you know, they want to pull a stock clerk off and bring you up there in the front to bag groceries, and you think, that ain't my job. But if the manager said, do it, you did it. And the whole objective was is to get the people out of the door, move the lines. And it was always good. It was a good manager, a good store. It produced a lot because of that. A lot of people there that I worked with were pretty diligent. Some of them were just lazy and slothful. I mean, they just take their time doing things rather than really just trying to get their job done and being enthusiastic and zealous about it and put forth some effort pursuing after it. You look at that in a natural standpoint from the world and, you know, advancing yourself and people seeing that in your life. What about spiritual things? When you look at Christians, you see for the most part, coming to church is a casual thing to them. Opening their Bible, studying, I mean, the things that are spiritual, the things that are most important in our lives are not supposed to be most important in their lives, are not something that they really put at the highest place in their life to pursue after. They just casually do it. It's just something they tolerate, something they might spend a little time with, but to really pursue after it, like it says here, to constant effort to accomplish what is undertaken. So if you undertake something, you got a project, then you do it. You don't just let it sit around. Yet we have a tendency to start something, leave it, and go here and forget it and so on and forth. We're not really diligent to get it done. So when you're looking at this picture, you think it's something that's really important because it says here, it's without unnecessary delay, not idle or negligent, but attentive. So you attend to something, industrious. Now looking at the Greek, going off of that, looking at the Greek word diligent, it says earnest in accomplishing or striving after anything. Earnest in accomplishing or striving after anything. So I'm getting a picture here of somebody who really puts a lot into what they're doing. They're not lacking. They're not slacking. They're not slothful or lazy, uncaring. They're attentive about what they're doing. They're industrious. They just go about doing it. They know they got a job to accomplish, and they're going to put everything they got into it to do it. And if it means that the sun goes down and it has to be done, they'll stay till the sun goes down. That's a diligent person. Where somebody says, well, the sun's going down, it's just good, you know, we got to stop now. But some people just want to finish a job. They want to pursue it and get it done. Other people don't. They don't care. So if we want something bad enough, wouldn't you say that we would give all out effort to do it? An all out effort. Because you can look at life and see sometimes that's true. When there's something we want, we'll give an all-out effort to pursue after it. I'll bet you if I said I invite all of y'all to my place out there in the country, I got 40 acres, and see, I buried $1,000 on this property, and if you can find it, you can have it. Now, I bet you'd be diligent. Now, some of you might think, well, that ain't enough to get me out there. Well, okay, just put $10,000 on it then. Let's see how diligent you would be to come out there and I tear up my property to find something because you would pursue it with a lot of effort, wouldn't you? Which tells me something, that when you do it for that, but yet you won't do it for the things of studying, seeking after God, then maybe your priorities are out of order. Maybe there's something that's wrong in your life. Because, you know, well, he says, give all diligence to add these things to your faith. So therefore, we should give forth a great effort to accomplish these things and see that they're fulfilled. I mean, to the time that we will give to pursue something that we want real bad. So if you want a relationship with God, and if you want to, you know, have the promises of God, would be a good way of looking at it, because what would you do? If God promises you healing, God promises you to provide your need, to that you can be successful and that he will guide you and direct you, wouldn't that be something that would be worth giving some effort to? Rather than just thinking, well, it's not that important, you know, I don't need God, then you've got a problem in your life. Because you do need God, because without him, you can't do anything. See, Philippians 2 says this in chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. It's God who worketh in you to will and to do. You must work it out with fear and trembling. Those are two great truths there, magnificent when you stop and think. Because God is working, and he's working in you individually to cause you, to give you the grace and to provoke you and to inspire you and to whatever he has to do to provoke you on to go forward. God's doing that work in your life. But how you respond to that in working it out is another thing. Because if you don't take it seriously and with diligence like we're talking about, I mean, if you don't set yourself before God to seek him, to, you know, guide you, direct you, and to open your heart to get what it is that you're pursuing after, then you're going to get nothing. Like we said, I mean, the soul of the sluggard, I mean, he desires, but he doesn't get anything, does he? Nothing is accomplished in his life, but the soul of the diligent is made fat. Why? It's because the diligent apparently is somebody who gives a lot of effort to it, to pursue that, and to give everything they got in order to, I'm going to obtain this, because this is what I want. And so that's what diligence is all about. But we have to continually seek after him for some things, because they don't come instantaneously. It takes time. And God wants to, so to speak, pouring oil on the flame, because his word is like an oil that comes to our heart, just pouring oil in there to just cause the fire to burn within inside of us to pursue after him and to seek after him and have a right relationship. And so over in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, we know that very well where it says, fight the good fight of faith and lay hold of eternal life. But in here, again, you look at this, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold of eternal life. And so fight is to strive. It's to labor. It's a violent taking by force, an effort. I mean, if you want something, you've got to fight for it. Are some things worth fighting for? Some things worth seeking after? Well, the context then would tell me that, go back to verse 11 where he says, but thou, O man, flee these things, which would go into the context of the love of money and the things of the world that calls people to depart from God, and follow after what? Righteousness, or the word follow means to pursue. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and meekness. You have to fight for those things. They just don't come by osmosis. You might get a little knowledge about things, but doesn't mean that something that really operates or functions and works in your life as it should. So you have to put forth some effort in your life. I mean, if you want fruit in your life, as Peter says in 2 Peter 1, be diligent to add these things to your faith. So that means to put forth a real effort, to really give it all you've got, to pursue. Maybe that will cost you of setting aside some things, of making some commitments to some things, of giving up some things, because some things are more important than others are. But I see that so many people are not diligent in their life. I mean, when it comes to taking care of things, when it comes to their family, comes to raising their children, comes to so many things, they're just not diligent. And the result of that is they don't prosper, they don't do very well. It's because there's something about them that might be slothful, something about them that, you know, I'll do is the least that is required of me to do. I'm just getting by. And there's a lot of people in the world like that. How much do I have to do to get by? Rather than I'm here to do a job and I'm going to do it with all my heart. I'm going to give it my best. If I make mistakes, I'll correct that and go on. I'm not going to cry over them. And that's a diligent person, a person who's going to seek after a job, a person who's going to do his job right, a person who's going to raise his family in the ways of the Lord, a person who's going to seek after. I mean, it comes into all of the Christian life. I mean, let's stop a minute and just go back and ask this question. What does God really command us to be diligent in? Because there's a lot of things. And if God is really, it's not a suggestion to be diligent now. It is something that God really wants out of us, to really put forth this effort to give it all that we've got in an effort to accomplish whatever is undertaken. So if you got something that you are pursuing after, you're going to give it all you got. Well, let's go back to 2 Peter chapter 1 and read again in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence. There it is again. To make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. So there's diligence twice in just a few verses. And it's like sandwiched in between the piece of bread on top is diligence, and the piece of bread on the bottom is diligence, and in between is the fruit. Something we have to seek after. If we want to put the meat on the bread, then we're going to have to do what's in between that. So he says, be diligent to add these things to your faith. And then he says, if you do these things, you won't fall. Well, I think that would make me want to have that deeper desire and effort within me to seek to obtain these things called the virtue, the knowledge, the endurance, and the brotherly kindness and love and things of that nature, wouldn't it? Because then it would mean there that by doing that, I am showing my calling and election. See, if a Christian says he's saved by grace and he's justified by faith, then does he have to do anything? It's a big argument in a lot of people. Some people say, no, it's all grace. Well, certainly it's all grace that brings you to the Lord, but it's all grace that takes you through life. I'm not going to argue that case. But because there's grace there, doesn't grace also something that shows that there's a manifestation or proof of that grace in your life, which would be what we would call the outworked righteousness? Well, certainly the Bible clearly tells that, that something that works does not produce faith, but faith produces works. Faith produces a corresponding action. So if you have faith in God, for it's by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. If that's happened in your life, then there's going to be something that comes out of that that is giving evidence back to the fact that God has saved you. And that would be in this context here of giving diligence to add to your faith these things. Therefore, making your calling in election sure, or having assurance in your life. Some people don't have any assurance. Why? Because it's lawful. They're lazy. They want an easy grace. They want an easy salvation. They want an easy, you know, way into the kingdom of God. But it's not necessarily, as we would say, you know, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Yes, but it's not something that's just that easy in that sense, because it requires of a giving of your life, a commitment, a loyalty. It calls into you to believe. And believing is saying, I am persuaded to the point I am going to follow the Lord and do things His way. This is a serious thing. And so in doing that, when you take hold of this, make your calling and election sure. If a person's lazy about his salvation, then is there any proof that he has genuine salvation? I think there would be a lot of question marks that would go up. Because a person who has something that's genuine, and he sees that he has to basically work out his salvation with fear and trembling, because it's God that's working in him, that there would be a lot of effort coming out of that. I'm not talking about him trying to earn anything. I'm talking about him just working out what God's working in. Because if God is teaching you as a woman or as a man certain things in your life that he's saying this to you personally, this is how God's dealing with you, then that's what God's molding in you, and he wants you to do it. And you take it lightly, or you neglect it, or you just kind of push it aside, stick your head in the sand, it doesn't make a whole lot of difference to you. How can you say that you're making your calling and election sure? I can't see that. And I think that all of us need to be alarmed about this and do some thinking about it. And so again, and right down in the context, I mean, because making your calling and election sure goes along with the cultivation of a character, the fruitful character that he's talking about. Cultivation. Fruit doesn't come without effort. Fruit has to be cultivated in your life. I mean, because it tells us in Galatians 5, it speaks about the fruit of the Spirit. And God wants us to cultivate that. Well, you know what cultivation is. We know that in order to produce fruit naturally, we have to till the ground, we have to sow the seed, we have to watch over it, it has to be watered, it has to right nourishment, it has to be weeded. A lot of things have to be done in order for it to begin to grow and to bear forth fruit. Same thing in the Christian life. I mean, fruit does not come unless there's some cultivation. So a man has to sow the seed in his heart, doesn't he? And a man has to wait and seek after the Lord and watch and guard and do a lot of things for that fruit to come forth in his life. And so right here in this context, we have two things: making a calling and election sure, and cultivating the kind of Christian character that God approves of requires diligence. It doesn't come to the slothful, the casual Christian. It doesn't come to the lazy individual. It doesn't come to the person who hems and haws and cries and whines and moans and groans. It comes to the person who sees the necessity of putting forth effort. That means you've got to, every day, apply yourself to the searching, to the seeking, to the cultivation of a relationship with God that produces something in your life that's positive. That's what a diligent person will do. And of course, he'll be diligent in a lot of things that he does as he goes out. He'll be a diligent witness. He'll be diligent in the job that he does. He'll be diligent in his home, as his leadership, as a wife. He'll be diligent in all these things. So right here, it's very important to see that if you want to make your calling election sure, then doing these things, he says, you'll never fall. I really like that, because you won't fall away from the faith. Yet so many people don't take the time to do that. Now you say, well, doesn't that put pressure on a Christian? Well, I'm going to tell you what, I don't mind to say that, you know, a little pressure never hurt anybody. And I think that in one sense, if you look at what God has done for you and you say, now, this is what God requires of you, and you're calling that, well, that's awful pressure, a lot of pressure on my life, I think you got a problem. Because I think you'd want to do it. I think it would be a natural response of a born-again Christian. Natural. Of a born-again Christian. It's not natural of a person that's not born again. What's natural from a person that's unregenerate is the very opposite. To complain, to murmur, it's too hard, it's too much. That's a natural response. Or you can say, let's take it over and say, okay, maybe the person is saved. But then isn't that the carnal mind? The carnal mind's still there operating and functioning. That's too much. That's too hard. I mean, come on. And there you go. Because you're opposing something that God is laying out. This is what I require of you. Walk in it. We'll look over in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12. Well, let's go back at verse 10 and pick up context where he's talking here. Hebrews chapter 6. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed towards his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. The same diligence to the full assurance of hope to the end. Well, what would that be? I mean, just the fact that you are the labor of love, that you are involved in what God is doing, ministering to the saints and do minister. And many things by comforting, by encouraging, by, just exhorting people, being there for them. And then he goes on and says, verse 12, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Not slothful. In anything that you do, slothful is a lazy person. This is a person that doesn't put forth any effort. The person who wants to get by with the least amount of effort. Now, I'm all for trying to find a better way to do things. It takes awful, you know, if you're trying to move a lot of things. I mean, if you got a load of bricks to move, I mean, say you got 3 pallets of cinder block to move. There's a couple ways you can move them. One way, you can hire somebody else to do it. Okay? Other way you can do it is start picking them up and start moving. But there's another way you can do it. You get the tractor and load it, and you can move them. As long as they get moved is all that matters. Isn't that right? I think I'd take the tractor away then. It'd be easier, wouldn't it? If you ain't got a tractor, then maybe you need to hire a couple people to help you. But get them moved. You can sit there and look at them the rest of your life and they never move. You can sit there and look at them, well, the garden's got to be plowed and the grass got to be cut and house has to be, the gutter's got to be repaired. Man, it's got to be done. You can look at that and talk about the rest of your life and never get done. All you do is talk and chatter about it. I mean, the chatterbox is a lot of times lazy people. They just want to talk about it and say, oh, it's just too hard. I haven't got no time. I work. But you're supposed to take care of things that God's given you. Take care of your car, take care of your bicycle, take care of your family, take care of your house, take care of your clothes, take care of everything. Be diligent to do that. But what about obtaining the promises? Because that can come in the context of inheriting the promises, obtaining them. Because God wants us to obtain them. We understand it's through faith that they obtained the promises in Hebrews 11:33. You don't get anything just by sitting still. You don't get anything because you just, you know, well, I guess that God will just bring them along when he's ready for me to have them. Well, God already has basically accomplished all that needs to be done for you to have them. But you have to appropriate them. You have to seek them. You have to ask in faith. You have to believe. You have to endure. You have to apply yourself. Faith is not something that's a lazy thing that you sit back, I believe. And then you come to the, you know, whatsoever will be, will be. Is that true? Well, God has ordained that certain things be so in your life. In order for them to be so, you have to give effort to those things. You have to seek after them. You have to lay claim to them. You have to believe, and you have to endure, and you have to fight the good fight of faith. And in doing that, making your good confession and knowing how to apply your faith, then you enter into the land. You go back in the Old Testament. He gave Joshua and them the land, did he not? Which is a parallel to the New Testament. Yeah, he did. They could have sat on the side of that riverbank the rest of their life. God gave us Atlanta. Isn't it beautiful over there? Oh, it is. But that Jordan is just swelling up so bad. It's water there. I don't know how we're going to get across. And it's so much nicer over here on this side and blah, blah, blah. And I don't know if we go. It's just too much effort. How are we going to get over there? And you can complain and sit there and admire the land all you want to, but you'll never get it. And there's a whole lot of Christians that are that way when it comes to the things that God has for them, because every promise is part of the land. And you can sit back and admire them and be wishful about it. And just like it's said in Proverbs, you know, the sluggard desires, but he never obtains anything. He doesn't get anything. He just sees it and desires it and says, well, I want that. He got it. Why can't I have it? Well, you didn't apply the effort that person did. Why didn't I get the promotion on a job? Why didn't I get something, whatever? You weren't diligent. You were the one, I mean, if a person is an employer and he's looking over his employees, which one is he going to advance first? The one who's slothful and lazy and complains, or the one who's diligent, on time, all the time, puts forth the effort, always saying, what do you want me to do now? I mean, an employer watches those things. At least a good one does. And he sees in that person the certain, you know, traits and characteristics of this person is he's zealous for the things he does. He's committed to what he's doing. He works hard. He's not just sitting back and, you know, when you finish your job, you sit over there, well, I'm going to twiddle my thumbs for a little while. And he just, what are you doing? I finished my job. The other guy, when he finished his job, said, what do you want me to do now? That's the diligent person, isn't it? He's doing something. And so, I mean, this is what we should be. We should be diligent in obtaining the promises. Quit admiring the land and start going into the land and applying the principles that God has given to you. So again, we see these are the things that God really lays before us and tells us that it's part of what he has for us, but they don't come to the sluggard. They don't come to the slothful, but they come to who? They come to the diligent. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. In the Old Testament. Proverbs 4 and verse 23. Where he says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now, let's take the heart. Diligence in keeping the heart. All out effort to accomplish something that I'll keep my heart. Well, how do I want to keep my heart? I think you'd want to keep it open to God. I think you'd want to keep it tender-hearted. I think you'd want to keep a heart that has a conviction, a loyalty, a commitment, something about it that is good and wholesome and of value. And he says, if you got that in the context of giving all attendance to the things of the Lord and the Word of God, then, you know, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We know that if you don't guard your heart, wrong things can get into there. Hello? Because all you got to do is start listening and watching and being around wrong things, and before you know it, it begins to enter in and corrupt. This is all these things, Mark 7:21, enter into the heart and defile the man. So if things can get into the heart and corrupt you, then should I not be guarding against those things so that they can't come into my life? Setting my eye before no wicked thing. I mean, turning away from those who would mislead me or misguide me or try to deceive me. Being discerning about what is just, right, and holy in life. I mean, we're talking about here guarding your heart. So many people don't even bother to guard their heart. They're slothful. They're lazy. They just open themselves up to most anything. They don't turn away from it. You know, what goes in is going to come out. So you got to guard your eye gate and your ear gate, which is an avenue to the heart. And so he tells us to guard our heart with all diligence. I'm just saying, these are things that God is saying to us. He uses the word diligence. I mean, how are you as young kids out there being diligent to obey your parents and to guard your life and to stay pure and not be around things that are impure or things that are, you know, of wicked and filth, things that are unholy that can defile your life? Are you diligent about those things? Because believe me, the avenues have opened up from everywhere to come into your life in order to corrupt you. So you have to keep thy heart with all diligence, because out of the heart are the issues of life. All of life is right down there in the depths of a man's heart. So he tells you to guard it. And to guard it doesn't mean just to casually guard it, but you do it with diligence. All out effort to pursue, to keep it a guard around your mind and your heart, thoughts that come in, what you think about, what you meditate upon, who you are associating with, what you're listening to, what you're watching, guarding your heart, not letting things come into your life that will corrupt it. And then let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. I mean, these are things I'm just saying when you look at them that God is telling us. Be diligent. And yet when you stop and you look at so many people and you observe, and I'm not talking about, you know, not trying to be critical, just saying you observe and you see, boy, that is so lazy. Hebrews 12 and verse 14 and 15. Follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man shall fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. So he's telling us here to be careful about, you know, it's dangerous to have people in your company that will influence you and corrupt you. And that's what the context is all about, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau. So, looking diligently. Because if you don't really look diligently and pay attention to all that's going on, then could you fail of the grace of God? Because if it says you can, it must be the potential that can happen. I know God keeps us, and I know God will keep us to the end, but it is a warning here that you can't keep tempting God with a slothful lifestyle. You can't keep tempting God by just not paying attention and being diligent to the things that God requires of you. So he's saying guard against defilement, because what can enter into a man's life can defile him. Associations. There, people have been, stumbling blocks have been created by a whole lot of people because people have done things that were not right and it caused other people to fall. And then 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14. Some of these things could be similar in the way that they're spoken of, but nonetheless, the word diligent is used, and that's what I'm trying to emphasize tonight. Being diligent. This is 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14, talking about the coming of the Lord, a new earth, new heavens where dwelleth righteousness. He said, verse 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent. Be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Now that's pretty heavy. Without spot and blameless. That there is nothing in you that somebody can blame you for. Now that's what we're supposed to be like. But it takes diligence to get there. People may accuse you, but it doesn't mean it's just. We talked about that this morning. The fact is that you're blameless in your lifestyle, the way you live. You're without spot, without blemish. And that's what God is going to bring his church to, isn't it? Ephesians is going to cleanse us without spot or without blemish. And he says right here that seeing you look for such things, the coming of the Lord, the new heavens, where dwelleth the righteous, be diligent that when he comes, you'll be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless. How much effort do you put forth to make sure of that? See, again, when you look at the way the word diligent is associated with so many things, it makes you begin to look at your life and realize that maybe I've been a little too lazy. I've been relaxed or lacking in these things in my life. They haven't been important to me. I've been diligent in the wrong things. I've been pursuing after my own selfish interests rather than the things of the Lord and things that are spiritual that cause me to grow up in Him and be prepared and ready for His coming. So be found in Him, you know, being holy is what it's all about. Psalm 77, verse 6. And I by no means am exhausting these things. I mean, we'd be here a long time. So you can look the word up, diligence. Look them up and do your own study. But look at Psalm 77 in the context here where here's Asaph. This man's going through quite a problem here. He's overwhelmed. And it says in verse 5, I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I called to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Now, when was the last time we did that? That we really got still before the Lord because there was something that we knew we were overwhelmed as He was. There was in a serious trial going on in your life, and yet we took that time to make diligent search. And He's asking questions, will the Lord cast off forever more? Will the Lord be favorable no more? Is His mercy clean gone? Does His promise fail forevermore? He's asking some good questions. Questions a whole lot of Christians seem to come up with that are answered right here. And then he says, hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath He in His anger shut up His tender mercies? And I said, this is my weakness. But I will remember the years of Thy right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember the wonders of old. I will meditate also of Thy work and talk of Thy doings. The way of God is in the sanctuary. See, he got into the presence of God. He got his answer he needed. And that's all he needed in his life because it brought him out into a right place. It brought him out of his darkness, being overwhelmed, and back into a place of victory. Why? Because of self-examination. Diligently took time to commune, to diligently search, as he says here. Search what? Search out God. Seek him. I want to know what's wrong. It's not with God, it must be with me. Well, what is it with me? Have I forgotten something? Apparently it says here, have God forgotten? No, he said, I will remember the days of old. He had forgotten. He's the one that didn't remember how good and gracious and kind God was. So self-examination is not a bad thing in people's lives. I mean, you can turn inwardly too much, but the Bible tells us to examine ourselves to see if we be in the faith. I mean, ask yourself some questions. See how you're doing. A diligent search, not just a casual, well, okay, anyway, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing pretty good. That's not good enough. We sometimes settle for the lesser rather than what God has for us. And what we need to do is see that we need to make this diligent search to pursue it with everything we got. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 17. Just a question. I mean, how many areas does God tell us to be diligent in? Deuteronomy chapter 6. In verse 16, 17, where he says, you shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massah. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes which he hath commanded thee. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee. Thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. So again, it's about the land, but how do you get there? How do you get there? Well, but diligently keep the commandments of the Lord. Now, we're not talking about, okay, here's five commands, keep them, you're going to get. Just what God's saying to you, whatever's revealed to you, because you're responsible for what's revealed. And when God reveals things to you, then be diligent to do what? So pursue after it. So if God begins to reveal things to you you haven't heard before, don't you think that that should be a priority of your life? To begin to pursue that thing. How much time do you spend seeking the Lord? Praying and studying? I mean, you have to, I can't answer for you, I don't know. But how much time do you spend? Just giving some effort and really diligently pursuing after it. Inquiring. Because if you're doing that, it's showing, you know, and then if God shows you something, say, I really need to implement this into my life. This needs to be a part of who I am. It will define my life. So you begin to be diligent to obey certain things. I mean, whether it's the wife submitting to the husband, husband loving the wives, and bringing up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. All of those are commands, are they not? Are they not commands? I mean, attending church, giving, loving one another, caring about one another, sharing. Oh, that's part of what God's commanded us to do. Then we should be diligent to do it. I mean, are we diligent to obey what God says, or we just put it aside? Let's look at Psalms 119. Psalms 119. And verse 4. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts casually. Diligently. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. So this means here again that we're willing to accomplish something that's an undertaking, to pursue it with an all-out effort and not to be slothful or lazy. So what has God commanded you to do? I mean, sometimes it might be hard to get accomplish what God asks you to do, but you're willing to do it at all costs because you're committed to it. And so diligent to obey that, or do we just put it off, put it aside? Do we procrastinate? I'll take care of it later. Procrastination is not a good thing. And back over to Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm sure I mentioned something about the family, but you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7, speaking here about teaching your children. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest in the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And so verse 6 says, all these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and you're to teach them to your children. Why? So that they can walk in my ways, so that it'll be well with them all the days of their life. And that's what God requires of us. And teach your children. Because if you don't obey what God says, guess what? You'll never see results. You'll never see the fruit, the reward of what it is to obey God. There are people that desire things, a slothful desire, but they never obtain. It's a diligent soul that'll be made fat. The one who puts forth an all-out effort, I'm going to teach my children the ways of the Lord. Don't look like they're paying much attention, but I'm going to keep on teaching them. I'm going to keep on teaching them because this is what God requires of me. And I'm going to watch over them. I'm going to exhort them. I'm going to do it the way God says to do it because sooner or later it'll bring a reward because he promises it will. So if you don't obey, you're never going to receive rewards of it. And so you look at this and you see, look at the rewards of a diligent person. I mean, I don't think we've even begun to dig down to the depth of the well of diligence. But in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 4, this is a Bible study, by the way. That's why you bring your Bibles and don't read the scriptures. Proverbs 13 and verse 4, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made what? Is that a reward? The soul of the diligent shall be made fat. And I'm not talking about weighing 500 pounds. I'm just talking about having the abundance of the Lord in your life is what he's talking about here. That's the implication that comes from this. In Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 29. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. So I think that you see that what comes here is honor and promotion in a person's life because you see a man that's diligent in his business, in all his affairs of life. He takes care of his finances. He takes care of his things, his business, whether he works for somebody or if he owns a business. He's diligent about it. I mean, diligent to pay your taxes. That could be a sore thumb to a lot of people. But diligent, whatever God requires of you, you're just willing to put that to work in your life. And so, I mean, this is all God's asking us to do is to be diligent in our life in everything that we do. I mean, the Bible even talks about in Romans chapter 12 about being diligent in business. So if you're involved in business, you should give an all-out effort to do it right. Proverbs 11 and verse 27. Then we'll go to Hebrews 11. Proverbs 11 and verse 27. He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. In other words, what a man sows, he's going to reap. You want favor in your life? He that diligently seek the good. Then you're going to get favor in your life. And then we know what Hebrews 11:6 says, if you diligently seek after him, then you're going, if you seek, you find. That's what it amounts to. So it all comes down to the simple little question is, how can we be diligent in these things? Doesn't it? Because if God wants us to be diligent, how then can we apply the principle called diligence? The principle of pursuing after these things, accomplishing them, putting forth all effort, pursuing after them to the point that we obtain those things. Well, I think that there's it can be done. We're talking about, you know, to be diligent, it comes down to this one simple thing, and that's being diligent in cultivating your relationship with the Lord. It's not something that you just set aside. Your Bible is an important thing, not because it's words on pages, just because it's a book, but because it's life in these words. This is what God has spoken. This is what God requires. And knowing that puts an obligation on us. God does not reveal himself to the slothful. God reveals himself to the person who pursues, who seeks after, to obtain. That's the one that God comes after. And that's the one he will show himself to. Because his grace is seeking to work in you. But it's also for those who are seeking the Lord. They seek the Lord, will obtain favor of the Lord. And so most Christians are self-seeking. They're seeking what is most important to them. Whether it's, you know, things, possessions, money, friendships, and you could go down a list of things and thinking, you know, all different things that could come up, and people are just not being diligent. So we have to be diligent to cultivate a relationship with the Lord. And in order to cultivate a relationship with the Lord, it comes back to some simple principles. And one is, you have to be diligent to listen to him. This is where it all begins, just listening. And I think that is the greatest fault and weaknesses in most people's lives, is having, you know, the ear to hear. Remember in the book of Revelation, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Lord has to say. So diligent to listen. God doesn't necessarily speak in loud, thunderous voices. It's a still small voice. But God speaks through his word. He speaks through his spirit. He can speak through circumstances and things in people's lives. He can speak in dreams. In many various different ways, God speaks to his people. But the basic all about life is just diligently listen. Exodus 15:26. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of, and listen. Paying attention is what it's all about. Not being distracted, not having a lot of different things going on in your life. We have got to the place that we've got so many things that have added to our life that it's making things more difficult and more stressful in life, and we're not putting God first in our life. So we're talking about paying attention. Proverbs 4, verse 20, my son, attend unto my word, incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thy heart, but keep them in the midst of thy heart. I mean, they're life, they're health to thy flesh. They're medicine. Then guard your heart with all diligence. Going right back to this thing about listening to the Lord. Now, just knowing that God is speaking to you through his word is valuable. Because sometimes people say, well, I don't hear God speaking. Well, you don't read his word. A lot of people, you get a lot, and believe me, there's a whole lot of Pentecostals, charismatics, and people out there, they constantly saying, well, God told me, God said, God, you know, that you hear that a lot in their voice. That bothers me because a lot of times, I mean, you know, God told me to go to the grocery store. I mean, God told me this and God told me that. I'm leery of those people. I don't want to get around that because God don't have to tell me to go to the grocery store. My refrigerator tell me that. I got enough common sense. Now, God might warn you not to go because something bad's going to happen. He could tell you that. God can intervene in a person's life. But the point of it is God speaks primarily through his word. So then we got to apply the principles of what the word tells us. Like 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, study thy word to show thyself approved. Most Christians are not students of the word. And study, I mean, the same word as diligent in the New Testament. So diligently apply yourself to the study of God's Word. And there's a lot of people that don't take time to do that, to really put forth an effort. Now, I know some things are harder for some and others to understand because you're dealing with spiritual things. But if you put enough time into it, God will begin to speak to you. So you have to exert yourself to learn the truth, to know about God. And you have to put forth an effort. You're not going to learn if you don't put forth an effort. You take the study, as we have over the years, various things, whether it has to do with the doctrines of God, you know, theology, and the various different things that we've studied over the years. Do you know how much study that takes? How much effort it takes to just, you know, understand what the Bible is saying and be clear and concise so that everybody can get a picture of what's being said and that they can draw nearer to God? That takes a lot of effort. It's easy to be shallow. It's easy to preach or just, you know, a message to people and to tickle their ears, to make them feel good about themselves. It's not easy to teach about the cross and denying yourself, being a disciple, being unequally yoked and being separated from the world and all the different things that we talk about. I mean, it's not always that easy, but yet it's what God requires of us. So the principles in Psalms 1, I mean, we know it very well. Blessed is the man who doesn't sit in the counsel of the ungodly, nor in the way of the sinner, nor the scornful. He doesn't sit in those people's seats and listen to them mouth off about all the bad things of life and how what's wrong with religion, what's wrong with everybody. No, it says here, but he delights in the law of the Lord. And in that law does he meditate day and night. So there he's putting forth some error. A man who meditates in God's word day and night is a diligent man. So how can I meditate in God's word day and night? I got to work. I got to sleep. Yeah, but you have some time, don't you? You can take God's word with you. Today you can carry it with you on your phone. How about that? There's free downloads, free applications that you can put on your phone. It has all the Bible on it, has commentaries on it, and even the Greek and the Hebrew on it that you can carry with you anytime you want to, and you can open it up at lunchtime, and you can study the Word on your phone. Would have been nice back there in the 70s when I got saved, but would I carry a Bible with me? Or make out your little cards and print out the Scriptures. I spent time at a Hunt and Peck, I guess, typewriter you call them. We didn't have all these word processors. Typing up little cards, just sitting right there in the corner. Put that little card in there and type out that scripture and type out 10 or 15 scriptures, put them on a card, put them in my pocket, and carry them with me. Why did I do that? So I could meditate on them from time to time. That's being diligent. I could have said, well, it's too hard, and I'd do it. Then I would have never had any memory. I would never have any understanding of these things. But I meditated on them. I thought about them. I rolled them over in my mind over and over again. We're talking about just like ruminating, you know, just taking it down. And when you eat food, food chewed, swallowed, goes through the stomach. It goes into your whole system. It goes into your blood system. It gives nourishment. It gives life. If a man doesn't eat, he dies. And the Word of God is like nourishment to our soul. And if we eat it, it goes into our whole spiritual system. And it begins to bring out life within us. But it has to go in first, and you have to be diligent to put it there. So if you don't take the time to renew your mind, to meditate on the things of God, like Joshua 1:8 and Psalms 1 says, then nothing's going to happen out of these things. Remember, over in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, yes, I said 1 Peter 1:10, not 2 Peter 1:10. They both have the word diligent in it, but they have a different emphasis. 1 Peter 1:10. Speaking about receiving the end of your salvation. In verse 10 says of 1 Peter 1:10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Now he's speaking about these prophets like Isaiah said things about the coming of the Lord. Micah said things about the coming of the Lord, and so on and so forth. And they've searched diligently of the things that they prophesied, because God was revealing something to them. I mean, it wasn't something they did. Well, I understand that. God was revealing divine secrets, things to come. And it says here, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. Wow. They put forth a lot of effort, didn't they? And so that's what God requires us. Remember the Bereans, Acts 17:11? They search the Scriptures to see if these things be so. Now, that's being diligent, because people hear a message, then they go their way. Some say, well, that was nice. Some other people say, I didn't get nothing out of that. And somebody just sits there. I see people sit there. They don't pay. Their mind's not on what you're saying. Maybe they catch a little phrase here or there. Praise God. But they're not taking notes, and they're not putting forth any effort to understand the whole context of what's being said. See, the theme tonight is diligence. That's not hard to understand. I'm emphasizing something. And that's why I emphasize it, because I know that you can, if you don't emphasize it, people don't get it. And so you got to more or less pour a whole lot of water of diligence on their head and brain so that they'll say, he talked about diligence tonight. You'll never forget it, hopefully. Thank you. They search the Scriptures to see if these things be so. That's called diligence. Because like he said in John 5 and verse 39, he says, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but there which speak of me. He's talking about the religious people. He's talking right to them. You think you have religion because, you know, you're Moses' disciple. Oh, just a minute. You search and see what they have to say. You be as diligent as these Old Testament prophets were who prophesied of my coming, and you'll find out something that will amaze your life. And that's what he's saying to them. So again, I mean, look in Luke 24 when Jesus was with his disciples, because he was with them for several years and they still had a hard time getting it. So I guess I can understand that. But he didn't let them get away with it either, did he? Luke 24 and verse 25, then said he unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. He expected them to know something about what the prophets had spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Because the prophets spoke of it. They didn't have no New Testament then. All they had was the Old Testament. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all, in all the Scriptures, the things concerning himself, the coming of the Messiah, his atoning death, his resurrection, the glory to be revealed, the coming of the kingdom. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent, and he went in to tarry with them. And so you read here, Jesus taught them from the Scriptures. And note verse 32 as you read down, and they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the Scriptures? See, the Scriptures is what opens up your heart. It's how God brings light into you and causes you to see something that you don't see in the natural. It is spiritual, it is revealing, and it changes your life. So the heart, their heart was set on fire. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. The Word without the Holy Spirit is dead letter. The Holy Spirit is which brings the life to the letter of the Word. And so you need the Holy Spirit. That's why John 14, 15, and 16, he speaks about, when I leave, the Holy Spirit will come, and he will teach you all things and remind you of these things. He is our teacher, the illuminator. He's the instructor. He's the one that causes the Word to become life to us. He testifies of Christ, not of man, not of a ministry, not of a missionary work. He testifies and glorifies Jesus Christ and exalts him above everything else. And so it comes down to this, as James 1 says, be swift to hear and slow to speak. Too many people are too quick in their mind. When somebody starts saying something, they run off, say, other things in their head, they're saying it. They're not listening. They keep on running their minds and right away in what's being said. So let's listen to what he's saying first. Take notes and then search it out. And if it's wrong, it'll prove itself to be wrong. If it's right, it'll prove itself to be right. But so many people, whether it's the feminist, the abortionist, the evolutionist, or whoever they are, they have an argument in their mind. And anytime they hear something, they're combating right away. They're not swift to hear. But of all people that should be swift to hear, it's the Christian. So like he says in Psalms 119 and verse 25, quicken me according to thy word. So we are to pray these Scriptures for ourselves. Quicken me, Lord, according to thy word. Quicken means bring life to me through thy word. And so that's what John 16:7 says. When his Holy Spirit's come, he will convict you of things. He will inspire you and cause you to see what is right and what is wrong and create these things in your life. But let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Because in cultivating this relationship and seeking God and listening to his word, it's going to take diligence. Hebrews 11 verse 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of who? Those who diligently seek him. Not the casual seeker. Not the person who comes with the wrong motivations. Because a lot of people do have wrong motives. But the person who really, Lord, I just want to know what you have to say. I want to know what your will is. Now, the word diligent here, when it talks about faith diligently seeks, this is not talking about a casual seeker. The Greek word is ekzetio. Ek means out. Zetio means to seek. So, to seek out. That's what the word means. To seek out him. Now, when you seek out something, you go look for it. You pursue after it. You want to know it. You want to find answers for your life. So you're willing to seek it out. So that's the metaphor, to seek in order to obtain. That's what it's all about. You're seeking out something that you might attain. So seek carefully, search, investigate, examine, scrutinize can be the meaning behind the word. And not many Christians do that. They don't search, they don't scrutinize, they don't seek out, they don't investigate. I mean, seek diligently for anything that's lost. What would you do if you lost something? I've seen people, I mean, I've lost something, and I've searched all over the place for it. My wife's lost something. She's searching all, lifting up something, looking everywhere. Where is it? Where is it? I mean, you look everywhere until you find it. And look over in Luke chapter 15 and verse 8. This is used here. And this is what we're talking about. This casual Christianity is a curse. And he's talking about here, seeking out the sheep that are lost. And he says in verse 8, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, now I tell you what, if you had 10 pieces of silver, how much would it be worth? Let's assume that the piece of silver is an ounce. An ounce of silver is about $34. 10 pieces would be $340 today, in today's money. So either woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? Well, certainly. Now, if you had a coin, just one little piece of silver, I got one of them. I got several of them. I got a Morgan dollar, old Morgan dollar. They ain't worth as much as a 99% pure, because Morgan's only got about 7%. But if I lost it, I'd be looking after it. Because right now it's worth $34. Let's say it's going to go to $100 an ounce. That's gold's up $1,700. So next thing is silver, because gold's getting too much. And a lot of people can't afford it. So what does she do? And when she's found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the Lord over one sinner that repents. So the whole context, seeking out lost sheep. But in the context, he's talking about somebody that's lost something and how they apply diligence to find it. And that's all we're to find the Lord, to seek diligently after him. What would you do? Would you be like this woman? Would you be like what he talks about, seeking after the Lord to find? I mean, meditating, thinking, inquiring. And here's a picture here very clearly. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. Let me ask you this question. If you were in a grocery store or department store and you had your child with you and you got distracted and your child got lost, what would you do? What would you do? Answer the question. You diligently seek after them, wouldn't you? Look what Paul says here in 2 Timothy 1:17. Speaking of that, when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. Well, if you do a casual looking, you're not going to find anything. You got to be real diligent about finding things. So this goes over and over about. So we're talking about here just the whole thing of seeking after the Lord. And so it comes down to this whole thing, Proverbs 20, verse 27. Of a relationship, cultivating that relationship is what causes us to really become a diligent people in all that we do. Proverbs 20 and verse 27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. So the spirit of a man is like a candle. Is that what he's saying?
Yes, it is.
So the spirit of man is like a candle. So God created man, as we know, to have fellowship. In order to have that fellowship, God has to light every man. John 1 talks about this. Light has to come. God has to light the candle. God's the one who's got to open your heart. He begun that work in your life when you got saved. And God is working in you now to will and do of his good pleasure, revealing things to you, how to live your life, how you should behave and conduct your life, the kind of character and disposition we should have as far as Christianity is concerned. And the question comes down, we know that sin breaks the relationship, but God restored man by giving him a new heart. Now, we know that if we, the path of the righteous gets brighter and brighter unto the full day, but it only comes to those who attend to the word, incline their ear unto thy sayings, and seek after the Lord. Seek him out. Just as you would a lost piece of silver, just as you would a lost child, just as something that is precious to you, something that has value to you, something that means more to you than anything else in the world, you give everything you got for it. And that's what we're talking about, diligently seeking the Lord. Because when you do that, you become a person that's diligent. Because he will teach you to be that way. And so do you quench the light of the Holy Spirit? Because if you're living in darkness, you're going to try to hide the darkness. You're going to hide from the light. In conclusion, John chapter 3 says this. John chapter 3, verse 19. And this is condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest or revealed that they are wrought of God. So what do you do when God lights the candle to reveal the truth to you? The spirit of a man is like, it's a candle of the Lord. He lights it, light comes in to the room. And it shows you something, it reveals something to you. It changes your life because it brings a deep conviction. So do you welcome the truth that exposes darkness? Or that's the beginning of a relationship between you and God. It's the beginning of being a diligent person. And being found in him, being diligent. Do you guard that light? Do you hold on to it? Do you guard your heart with all diligence? 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 7. Paul says this, that Christians should abound. Christians of all people should abound. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, and in all diligence. Of all things he has, in all diligence. And in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also, which he's talking about in the context of giving of yourself and giving to the work of God. And to prove the sincerity of your love. But he says, abound in everything, abounding in diligence. Do you think that a Christian should be looked at as one, he's diligent? Should there be a lazy one among us? Should there be any slothful among us? No. So I think we should be diligent to walk in the light. As 1 John 1 said, walk in the light as he is in the light, and we'll have fellowship with one another. That's where our diligence should be. Pointed to him, seeking him diligently, because out of that is born this whole diligence to begin to work out your salvation, to make your call and election sure, to be sure that you add these fruits to your life. You'll be diligent in everything because you're diligent in your relationship with him. And he will be the one who will cause you to be diligent. The very opposite of a lazy person. Let there not be one lazy Christian among us. May we all be diligent in our relationship and our study and all that we do that spells Christianity, that everybody can see that these people are hard workers, that they don't waste their time. They're not slothful, but they're diligent. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that the Holy Spirit would continue to guide us in the truth, to convict us, and Lord, that you would cause us to be a people that abound in this grace also of being diligent, that we would pursue with all of our hearts the things of the Lord, that we would put you first and seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness, and that we would seek you out and all things that pertain to life, and that we would guard our heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Grant this to us, we ask in Jesus' name.